There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Shane Van Gisbergen has been perfect. He has navigated the streets of Chicago to perfection.
Welcome to the NASCAR Winners Club by Kiwi Friends.
That's so cool. Thank you, guys.
Hey guys, welcome back to Stacking Pennies this week. We are presented by Chili's, as you can see, with this gigantic Presidente Margarita Shaker gas can. We're going to tell you why this is here on set. And as also as you saw in the opening, Shane Van Gisbergen is going to make an appearance on the show. Excited to talk to him on just how driving on the correct side of the road is, because he doesn't know what that's like. We're also going to break down a little bit of Dale Jr. love we got in the download this week. Pit Road, Boats and Woes, Penny Stackers. All of it right here. And we got some chips and salsa. What don't we have on the show today? Because you better buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. Crank up the volume, because this is Stacking Pennies. Presented by you.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking pennies.
Hey, guys. Port of the Joy here along with my best buddy, Ryan Flores, front tire changer of Ryan Blaney's Ford Mustang. How's it going?
Doing great. How are you today?
It has been 15 long weeks since we watched Ryan Blaney hoist that championship trophy over his head. Now we trek down to the granddaddy of them all, the Daytona 500. Here we go. This is Stacking Pennies presented by Chili's this week. As you know, they are on my hot rod. I couldn't think of a better pairing.
What is this thing?
This is the Presidente Margarita Gigante.
The gas Gigante. Can.
So we did.
Is this what your gas man's using this weekend?
I think it is. Actually, that flows really good.
Be a hell of a marketing ploy.
Dude.
We can sponsor the car. We'll put your name on the hood. We'll also use the
Presidente Margarita Shaker
gas can to fuel it on the money stop.
Well, great story behind this fellow right here. We did a national commercial. It's going to be running during the first stage of the 500. And the premise of the commercial is hopefully we can show it in the YouTube after the show here. We'll try to, you know, wink, wink, try to squeeze it in there for you. But I am like a mad scientist. I slide underneath the car. The crew chief walks up. So I have Ryan Sparks in real life as my crew chief. They had this other acting fella, so I named him Dusty Nuts.
No, you did not.
Dusty, no, but I did.
I
didn't refer to him as Dusty Nuts.
But just know when you see
that in the commercial, that's Dusty Nuts.
That's Dusty Nuts.
Yeah. So Dusty Nuts come up like concerned, like, what are you doing to the car? I come out and like, I've legitimately had a lime glued to my forehead, salt like I'm a walking margarita. And I'm like, I figured it out. So I go run off camera and I bring back this giant gas can and I plug this thing in upside down with the neck like normal. And like I'm filling it up with a margarita. It's got little ice cubes in it. The company from Marvel movies that makes all the props made this thing. And I crank it up and I'm like, Frankenstein, right? Like, it's come to life. And then it puffs and it rattles and then it shoots green smoke out the hood. It's freaking hilarious. That was like a 12-hour day for a 30-second commercial, so that was great. A lot of media comes along with a national brand like that, but it's also I got some pride just in the fact that Spire's at a place right now where we can attract a brand like Chili's. Pretty big deal.
Yeah. It's always important for teams like that and any team. It's like, it seems like getting a sponsor for the Daytona 500, that race is what, like 10x when any other race pays? What's that look
5x.
Like? 5x.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge deal for your season.
Yes. Oh, that can kick you off financially in a real good place, for sure. And also, because there's 5x more eyeballs on that, you can sell the price per race to get on the cars double, maybe triple.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And get Presidente margaritas out of you. How many Chili's?
Great story right quick. So we had Chili's delivered. We didn't have it. Chili's was so kind enough to deliver a whole smorgasbord. We got crispers. We got sliders. We got egg rolls. We obviously got chips and salsa. And it shows up today. And when I was working here with like Brandon McReynolds, when we were just kids, Weldon Seats, we would go to lunch and we would go to this Chili's down the street every week, at least once a week. The bartender that we would go talk to, Jeremy, is the fella dropping the food off.
Full circle.
I said, holy Jeremy. What have you been doing? Yeah, the one with the mustache.
Really?
I said, what have you been doing? Apparently not much because you're still working at Chili's 15 years later, but goes to show what type of organization that place is.
He's moved up the chain.
No, he says, I said, are you a manager now? Are you like head chef? He goes, no, I'm still a bartender. Hey. I appreciate that. Hell I said, yeah. I don't remember what your name is, but I remember that your kid's middle name was Danger. Because when he told me that 15 years ago, it blew my mind. So when he walked in, I said, holy cow, man, how's your kid? Middle name Danger. I didn't know his name. Didn't know the kid's name. He goes, yeah, he just got his permit. He was telling me that, like, showing me the baby picture. I remember that when I was sitting at the bar eating salad, fajitas. I don't know. So
just goes
the world is a flat circle, buddy.
Goes to show you. Chili's a great place to work, too.
You could work there for 2 decades.
Yep.
Be content. Love your job. Huge week. Big week. Running the truck.
Oh, Blue Green's truck.
Looks great.
Does.
Chevy Silverado. Gets my motor running.
We should have won this one last year.
Led the most laps. Was working with a spotter I wasn't familiar with, and he called to cover the bottom lane. I didn't trust him enough. It looked a little bit full in my spot mirror, and I didn't want to wreck the entire field, so I hesitated. And you can't win a race if you hesitate.
What's his name, Joey? Joey Campbell.
He did a good job for me all night. We covered lanes. We blocked back and forth, and all it took was one missed block. Rain came out. That was all she wrote. So we're going to get a little bit of vengeance this year.
Who's spotting for you this time?
TJ.
TJ, okay. So
TJ Bell, my spotter on the cup side, is going to be having a headset on even 7, too. It's pretty good. So the old 7 truck, Blue Green Vacations, Chevy Silverado, Brian Patty, crew chief.
Oh, that's good.
He certainly knows how to make a truck go fast in a circle.
He knows how to make anything go fast in a circle.
He knows how to make anything go fast in a circle. But we had our little team kickoff luncheon yesterday, and Dickerson said, hey, Cup guys, there's some realistic expectations, and here's the bonus structure and this and that. But the truck teams, were the only success is winning races and championships.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, they took over KBM.
So I can touch on that real brief. So we did our kickoff luncheon. There's 140 people there now. So we went from 25 to 35 to maybe 40 last year to now 140. So it's pretty cool to see that group picture get bigger and bigger. And Dickerson, all the crew chiefs, all the drivers said something. And I was sitting there. I spoke last. I don't know how that worked out, but I did. And I got the boys fired up. There's one quick thing. So I always think about like a story or something to like, you don't want a corny story. You don't want whatever, right? So I go out to LA, and the whole time the flight out there is self-doubt. We've missed this show the last 2 years.
Do
I remember how to do this? It's been a long off season. All that little noise in there, little Randy LaJoy in there. Too tense. Always too tense off. All right, are you good enough? Can
Michael
you go get it?
Frickin' Schumacher.
Can you get it? Right? And you're just wrestling with that. So even when I got there, Kelly's with me. We're going to go to the track walk on Saturday morning. And it's still like nervous. Like, are we going to get in? I got to take a picture on the 7th row with my shirt off if I don't. Like, it's a big deal.
Are they going to let me in the track with this hard card picture?
Also stressful. So we get there, and we whip it into the media center, which is the USC Trojans locker room. And I'm walking out, and the last thing that the Trojans see before they walk through the tunnel out into the field is a big saying that says, win the battle in your mind.
Mm.
And that was like an instant kind of perspective adjuster for me of like, okay, I'm having a battle in my mind with self-doubt. Time to win it. Right? Yeah. It allowed me to lock in. So I told all the fellas that got a lot. That was well received and I also said, hey, if you don't realize that there's a battle in your mind, you're probably losing.
It's a 6-inch battle right between the ears.
That's it. It's what it is. And now we're headed to the biggest battle of them all.
So
the Great American Race, my friend.
How do you feel? Okay. I ask this because I see a lot of people. This is our year. We're going down there.
Everybody thinks they're going to win the Daytona 500 the week before.
Everybody thinks they're going to go make the playoffs. They're going to go win a race. Everything's going to be better. Like, they ended in Phoenix, and then everything was magically cured, and they haven't changed anything, and they're going down there to win. And that's all fine and dandy. I could tell people I'm going to be great all day long. What do you think the biggest things you've done to be great this year are, and what's going to get you to victory lane?
It's a great question. A lot of additions in the engineering department at our place. The addition of Luke Lambert, another engineer in the 77. The addition of Steve Doran from the 71. The addition of both Carson and Zane, right? Those guys bring their own feel, their own successes with them to the table, and their own knowledge of a race car. But having more engineering depth, a little bit more help from GM, our biggest weakness, I think, was just overall pace majority of the time.
Yeah.
We brought good pace every 6 weeks. We'd be a 12th to 15th place guy, right? It makes my job a hell of a lot easier when we unload and we're 11th versus 31st.
Yeah.
So now that we have a better grasp on vehicle dynamics, we can go unload and be in the top 20, right? And that just allows you to call the race differently, qualify better, and it sets you up for success. Where,
yeah, it's way easier to play when you're already in the ballpark, but if you're trying to figure out how to get in there to even get to the game,
you won't even be able to get up the bat.
Yeah.
So now Ryan has a bit more help. Luke's brought a lot of great ideas to the table. Steve and Dorn is obviously brought a lot of ideas from. He's been Harvick's engineer for 10 years. Dog.
Engineer without an engineering degree. Just a racer.
Yeah.
Thug, dude.
Yep. So I got that redneck engineering degree.
I don't know if he's a redneck, but
if he ain't got a certified,
he's a sprint car guy.
Yeah, hey. He's a redneck because we're working on NASCARs.
There's no better racer. There's no better engineer than a racer slash engineer.
Like, I mean, the list is long, right? He was working for
the list.
Rodney
successful
Childers.
Ones are long. Yeah, Paul Wolf.
I mean, dude, we can go rattle on this list all day. But so to answer your question, a lot of engineering philosophies coming in the door. A lot more help. A lot more tire data. A lot more sim time. We still have great engines in Hendrick engines. Some new ways we're building the car. I've been working with Josh Wise and Scott Speed, so they've really changed my philosophy and my confidence at a road course with go-kart. We've been going to GoPro a lot, or I guess Trackhouse Motorplex now, doing a lot of stuff on tag carts, a lot of stuff on iRacing, which everybody knows how much I love iRacing. But it's just,
yeah, you love it.
Big fan. But I've
5 o'clock street stock race.
I'm like molding my brain differently and going to the racetrack with different intentions, and the preparation's gonna be much different.
Yeah, that's what I would call. I guess what I would call it that a lot of people go into a new season with is false confidence.
For sure,
you know, it has to be earned confidence.
Yeah, that's right.
The one thing that makes me confident in you is the same guy that picked the champion this time last year picked you to be in the champion to win a race and be in the.
That's redneck Jesus, buddy.
In the chase offs.
Yeah, so I my phone started blowing up yesterday. I guess it'd been last week when Dale Jr. was making his playoff picks and he slid the old 7 Camaro in there.
Let's go.
As the dark horse. So Dale Jr. Download gave the fellows a shout out. Let's hear it.
Spire improves performance on all their cars. Probably an average of 5 positions this year. And I think the 7 wins. So I believe that, yeah.
That's kind of bold.
Yeah. I think, so we can go to our bold predictions. That's one of them. I think that Corey LaJoie takes Spire to victory lane. I believe that puts Corey LaJoie in the top 16 in my 16.
Man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I had to take somebody out. Who's out? Buescher.
Okay.
Really?
Who are those other two guys on there with Dale Jr.?
Losers.
That's well. They didn't sound too confident in you, is what I'm saying.
I don't sound too confident in them either.
I trust Dale Jr.'s position more than those two guys, but I do. Man, Chris Buescher's a tough one to knock out. Three-time winner last year.
He was on a heater, and he's consistently been better than the 6.
Listen, I don't care who you knock out. I just hope you're in there. I'm not looking forward to the week that you win a race, though, because it's going to be a long week.
Oh, my goodness.
It's going to be
a bender, buddy.
Nonsense Garage is going to be tuned up.
Might be burnt down. If we win the 500, I have to apologize in advance. The closest chilies probably will be burnt to a crisp.
Oh.
Crispers, chicken crispers, will be nothing but the remains.
You're going to melt that margarita mixer right down.
Right down. I'll be drinking out of this son of a if we win.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
No catch can, just...
Juice. Talk about a beer bong of all beer bongs, this Presidente Margarita right to the dome piece.
So, we're going to Daytona.
I'm 1,000% going to drink out of this, by the way.
So, you've been going to Daytona for a while. You're going as a kid with your dad. Now, you're going as a driver. What are your fondest memories from watching your dad race and then as a driver?
Dad didn't really run the 500. He had all-time wreck in 1983 or 4. It's worth the YouTube. big tumble.
Dude. The IROC guys were in the garage, and they said that his hood landed, like Ray Abraham says, like the hood landed.
Probably 400 yards away. It was
in
a
the garage, rate. Like bonk.
So that was before I was even a thought. And I remember my dad had a lot of success there at Daytona in like the mid to late 90s. And then 2001 was the last time he won a Busch race, won three. I remember sitting up in the grandstands for all of those. So that was always a cool experience to see your pops get the dub there. Never really hung around for the cup race. I remember dad trying to qualify for actually Front Row Motorsports. That was probably 2006. Missed the show.
For Front Row?
Yeah. Really? Like, I think it was like one of the first races they tried to make. So Bob Jenkins tapped Big Rand to try to get her to show. There was probably like 65 cars there back in the day. But my all-time memory, and it's always a perspective adjuster for me, is going down there for my first 500. So
yeah.
Up to that point, so without giving the full context, I had no business driving a cup car. I had driven probably 4 or 5, maybe 10 Xfinity races prior to being the squeaky wheel with Ron Devine at BK and calling in a favor with Jimmy Johnson, and Jimmy Johnson calling Ron Devine and saying, hey, he can do it, and then Ron allowing me to be in for one event, which was the Daytona 500, to try to just like get the money rolling to the next couple. So we get going. I, at that point, had about 20 laps of Super Speedway experience. It was I got wrecked by Brandon Jones in a Busch race 20 laps into the show, and that was the extent of my drafting experience. Drafting practice rained out. We were the slowest car there by like 3/10. Like, there was the fastest car, then the last place car, then there was 3 more 10ths, and then there was mine. I had to beat one car in the duels, Reed Sorensen.
Speedy Reedy.
And my car was like the bad news bears. There was like 3 guys on our car. Like, no matching shirts. Just like, here's this hot rod. Let's just try to push her down the beach and see what happens.
We got some money for this thing. See, if we get in the show, we got Dust, great. If not,
the fellow guy from Dust's Blaster wants to fly down here in his jet and, you know, see his car go around in circles. That's what we were.
Yeah.
So before my duel, the only person that was around my car, he was probably even setting air pressure, was Ron Devine, the guy that owned it.
I came down there and said good luck.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that. And I'm like petrified, bro. I don't know what I don't know. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going to learn how to draft in this duel. Meanwhile, I'm trying to make the biggest race of my life. And Ron Devine comes to the window net, and he goes, hey, big guy, you know, this car doesn't have very much sponsorship this year, and if we probably don't make this race, we're not going to go. We're not going to go the West Coast swing.
Chase Elliott heading Hendrick.
Yeah, Chase Elliott's flying over top of the nonsense garage right now. And he puts the window up, walks away.
Ron Devine, the team owner, is your tire guy and your interior guy, puts the window up.
And your motivational speaker.
It's like Days of Thunder. Oh, man. Now, what does he say? Now we're having sponsor trouble.
Now we're having sponsor. We didn't have any sponsors, so we didn't have any trouble.
There's no trouble.
So, puts the window up, walks away. And I give the belt a little extra tuggy-tuggy. All right. Dear Lord, please take the wheel like Carrie Underwood. Let's freaking go with this thing. The whole time, I'm glued like white on rice to the back of this 55 car. Wherever Reed goes, I'm going. Wherever I'm going, he's going. One mano y mano for last place and dead last place. And we get going, and I don't know what are the trigger areas. I don't know what the hot spots are, where you're supposed to make a pass. I'm just floored, bro. Like, cold trickling.
There's one thing you knew.
I had to beat this black car in front of me.
That Jimmy Johnson told you that people get lazy in the tribal and you can plug them 3 wide.
He did tell me that.
Because that comes up later in the story.
Yep, so we go around. He stayed out on tires. I come in, got four feel goods, and we go out, and there's a last little run home, like 15 laps. And sure enough, you start getting a little free in through the trial, especially on old tires like Reed was, and he was chasing it. And he'd leave the middle open, and I was like, ooh, there it is. That's what he was talking about. Leaves it open 3-4 laps in a row, and I'm like trying to time my run so I can stick it in there right at the flag stand. And I drag back a little bit through the middle of 3 and 4, and I get the he leaves the middle open. I stick my right front fender in there, and it was just enough. And she funnels back down, the 55, like slow motion. Right off, like window, rear deck lid flaps or roof flaps up. Whew, there he goes.
Dude, he hit hard.
He hit a ton.
But But it wasn't malicious.
No, I was just, well, I was trying to beat him.
Well, yeah, you were trying
and
to
I
beat him.
And I also didn't know, like, probably where I was supposed to be. But all I knew is there was a spot, and I filled it. Didn't work out good for him. Worked out great for me.
Seven-time champ told you to do it.
If
he wants to be mad at somebody,
be
Jimmy
mad at Jimmy.
Johnson.
Call him. Yep.
Call Jimmy.
So they bring me to the media center, and I'm there, and I still don't know what's what, right? But I know I'm in the Great American.
Didn't know he got hurt.
Didn't know he got hurt. Didn't know that for like weeks. He definitely wasn't hurt the next week when he plugged me in the fence of Phoenix. But that's neither here nor there. So I'm sitting there at the media desk, and Marty Smith asked me, I don't know, something like, what's it mean for you to make it? And I just start, like, I got choked up. I think I said something like, I'd have wrecked my grandmother to make this
your mother.
Race.
But anyway.
I'd have thought twice about
anyway, you weren't grandma. You weren't very apologetic.
No.
Because you didn't do it on purpose, but then people kind of had.
I can assure you this. If I do not make that race, I am not sitting here. I'm here. I'm welding seats.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
right
I'm
next
doing.
Door.
Right,
yeah.
Right on the other side of this wall, I'm welding seats instead of driving cup cars 7 years later. So that is a monumental moment in my career, and that's my favorite Daytona 500 memory.
That's good. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, what about yours, man?
Well, we won it. That was a lot of fun.
Cool. No flex, my,
I think the cool the flex, one, dude. Yeah, the one that I think about other than that, and it's like the emotions of the Daytona 500 are just.
I was thinking about this. Sorry to cut you off, but I want to hear your emotions of. I think about you. Just think about what you'd do, what you'd say, all this, right? You try to like visualize the outcome or visualize how you're going to do it. I could only imagine like doing a burnout. And on the front of Daytona, but then all the pit crew guys were running across the ball field, right? You guys booked it across the ball field.
Oh, yeah. The thing that I remember the most about that
like
was
the
getting,
opposite
like,
of walk of shame.
You get there and you're
the
at the car.
The run of victory.
Yeah, you're at the car and it's like you're ground level. Well, then you look up and you see banking. Then you look all the way up and all you see is people when you get that close. It's really cool. But the one like that, like, okay. So you visualize like winning and like you win and you go to victory lane and it's like, this is what it's going to be. Uh-huh. And really, my daughter was crying because she was afraid that the planes were going to fly back over, and crew was crying because the fireworks were too loud. Like, so, but the one that I remember is like the whole week of speed weeks when you're trying to win it as a crew guy, especially because you really don't have, like, you don't have like a lot of say in what you're doing.
Yeah.
As a crew guy, you're just kind of part of the team and trying to help your team, but it's one of those races that you want to win in your career. And we finished second with Blaney in the 21 car when Kurt Busch won. And it was just one of those weeks where we were really close with the Xfinity car. We were down there all week long. I hadn't been home. And I came home that night, and your nerves are just shot.
Yeah.
So I get home. My nerves are shot. I go in to take a shower. And Chris was like looking at me kind of like weird with anticipation. I go in the bathroom, and there's a pregnancy test sitting there.
Oh.
And she's like, we're having a baby. And I was like, oh my God. Like it was just like all too much. And that's when I found out we were having Harper. It was like right when I got home from finishing, our team finished second Daytona 500. So my nerves were already shot. And then I got that and I was like, oh my God. I don't know that I've ever been that emotionally unstable since. So a lot of good memories. Now we get to spend a couple $1,000s at Disney World every time we go down to Daytona.
Worth
because
it
because of that.
It's worth it. But tickets are much more than I expected for Disney World.
They didn't build that place.
I reckon
not
so.
Selling tickets.
Walt's doing just fine. His frozen body somewhere tucked away in a basement is doing just fine. His pockets are fat.
Amen.
In the ice cube. But talking about Daytona 500 memories, we have many because we've been doing it for a long time. There is a fella coming here from New Zealand that has no idea what's about to happen. He's going to go make his first Daytona memories this season, driving the colleague WeatherTech number 97, pumped up. He's already joined us once on the show and then proceeded to whoop our ass. So he's going to be a regular call-in. Very frequently, he's going to give us an update on his coming to America journey, his acclimation to ovals. But I'm excited to hear about his acclimation down at Daytona Beach because SVG, guys, is coming up right after this. Stay tuned. Okay, guys, for the first time ever, Chili's has given you the opportunity to be a winner at Daytona with the Quecherita on my Camaro going down there. Try to scan the QR codes on my Chili's car for a chance to win free Chili's gift cards or a VIP race experience. But it won't be easy. I'm going to be going 200 miles an hour. So you better get out your phone camera and try to get them codes. Or go to chiliscecharita.com for rules and regulations. Make sure you drink responsibly and don't try this in your car. All right, guys. Like we had hinted about all show, we are welcoming SVG back. He was one for one on his appearance on Stack and Pennies, and he proceeded to kick our ass at Chicago. But now he said, I did it once. I'm going to try to do it for 36 weeks. Coming from New Zealand to the States, trying to acclimate to nothing but fast food there is to eat here. Welcome to Stack and Pennies, Shane Van Gisbergen.
Hey. Thanks for having me, guys.
Man. So when I presented the idea to you, I ripped a page out of Pat McAfee's book with having Aaron Rodgers on it every week. It's always a people anticipate, look forward to it. And I felt, who is a fella that somebody really wants to care and know about an entire different culture learning, has already shown success in NASCAR, and he's going to go the way of Juan Pablo Montoya, the way of Marcus Ambrose, and try to carve his way in NASCAR. And I thought, who better than you, buddy? So you signed up. You said yes to jump on Stack and Pans with us. Excited to talk to you. Appreciate you doing that. The first thing we talked about is that you, for a couple days, were getting in the car on the wrong side in the morning. That blew my mind.
and driving up the road on the wrong side as well. When there was no one around, I'd lose my bearings. So I've kind of got it figured now. But roundabouts, man, I keep driving around the roundabout the wrong way out of track house. So that's tough.
Have you gotten any close calls by that, doing that?
No, it's good. It's good. Well, it only takes me a couple of seconds. Like, oh, but thankfully, no one really sees when I go to get in the car on the wrong side. I just pretend I'm putting my bag in or something on the other side.
That's funny, man. I'm sure that's just like one thing of the laundry list of things that's like new and unusual. Is there anything that like you still, now you've been here for probably 6 weeks or so, if not more, is there anything that still sticks out like that just does not make any sense?
No, it's all, stuff's pretty good here. Stuff makes sense after a while, but the weather's tough. Getting up in the morning in the dark and sub-zero or, you know, below freezing, and that's tough. But that's been a big change. I've never really lived in any place this cold before. You know, we don't really have a winter where I was living in Australia. So it's, the weather's been a shock, but everything else is pretty good, pretty normal, really.
Go ahead. How was moving all your stuff and your dog and all that? Like, how was that trip over here?
Well, for me, it was okay. Like, I just brought two suitcases and I'm happy. But my girlfriend's got a lot more stuff than I do. So we got a box of stuff that's coming, hasn't arrived yet. But yeah, she's making do with only 10 pairs of clothes instead of 100 or whatever she's got. But it's been good. The dog was a big trip. He came in the new year, so we were here for a few weeks sort of traveling around and doing stuff, and he came a bit later, and we picked him up from New York and drove him down here, which was, you know, we did it over a day and a half or something. So
what do you think
for him? He struggled in the cold. That's what he said.
The dog goes out there like, what the hell is this, dude? Where did you bring me? You brought me to freaking Alaska. Yeah. How was, like, Manhattan? Like, you ever been there, seen all the, like, that's always an experience.
No, never. So even going to New York, like, it was freezing there. I've never been somewhere that cold.
So I don't think, and I've said this multiple times in the show, I was really excited when they put a deal together with you. I think stuff had probably been in conversations even prior to Chicago, but then you knocked it out of park in Chicago. One of the all-time greatest V8 supercar drivers. And in your prime, right? I feel like when we have gotten international guys to come over and try their hand at it, they're either on the back end of their career, they didn't get it with the great team, and they really never got a shot. You, in conjunction with Trackhouse, through Colleague, you're going to have all the tools with the simulation, who I'm sure you probably spent hours on already. You're working with Josh Wise, who's the best in the business when it comes to just preparation for a driver. So where's your confidence level going into a super speedway, which is unlike anything you've ever done?
Yeah, good question. I don't really know. So, you know, it's, as you say, well, actually, it didn't really, we didn't really have a plan, you know, before Chicago, but once it went well, stuff just snowballed. And I've gone from doing, you know, 3 cup races and 10 Xfinity to now a full season and, you know, at least 6 cup races. So it's crazy how things have snowballed, and the opportunity, as you say, is massive. Jumping in a car that's capable of winning races in both series, and, you know, a program that's going to really help me learn and fit in with the simulator and the training. Man, I've been watching the Super Speedway races, the Xfinity, and also the ARCA race. And I think it's going to be an experience. It's pretty crazy watching that stuff. It's so left field from anything I've ever done.
No, you probably shouldn't watch those ARCA races.
Watch it.
Don't watch the ARCA races.
They call those the Organ Donors 200.
They have.
I don't want to like make you nervous, but they are known as the Organ Donor 200. But
your
I'm sure you have
will be
a nice
fast day. Enough where be you fast hopefully enough. Can stay out of the. Hey, did you do your test down there?
Yeah. So everyone, including you guys, speaks so bad about ARCA. But,
no.
You know, I expected the worst, and I got there as a Pinnacle Racing Group as a team, and like the car's brand new and it's amazing. The team's awesome. So
no, it's not your car that you have to worry
it's not
about.
Yours.
It's the guy that's driving Sterling Marlin's car from 1998 is the guy you got to worry
Truth
about.
Truth be told, if you're racing for Pinnacle, the guy building your ARCA cars is the guy that built all Corey's cars when he was coming up out of here, the C Chop. So you're in good hands with Steve-O. Have you ever? Now there's a track. What's it called? Is it the Thunderdome? What's it called in Australia?
Thunderdome. Yeah.
Did you ever run on that?
I did a drift event on the front straight backwards that went into the pit lane. That's about it.
But damn.
So you drive around the banking in a rental. It's rough.
So you've never been on anything like Daytona before. What was that like?
Well, I've done the Rolex there, so I kind of felt the banking, but you're always coming out of a corner onto the banking, so I haven't really felt. Hadn't felt driving into the banking at speed before.
It's an experience, buddy.
Yeah, the draft
like,
will be fun.
But
too.
That's also like, generally speaking, your first time seeing Daytona is when you're like a 19-year-old kid, 20-year-old kid, right? This guy's doing street courses at 160 miles an hour. So like, the Daytona like wow factor isn't quite as big. Because he's done about everything Nürburgring you've been on, right? There's like so many places that you've been at that are bucket list items for everybody else. It's just like another one, but it's just so vastly different than what you've ever done.
Yeah. Well, I hadn't been to Daytona for, I think start of 2020, I did the Rolex there, and still like when you arrive at the track, you know, you forget how big the grandstands are and then driving around, you forget how banked it was. And like I did a lap running up by the wall just to do that, and you're looking at the ground, you're a long way off the ground. Like it's a pretty cool feeling. Like a track like that is still a wow factor for me when I turn up there.
So we've talked about this multiple times, but I think you have so many people, whether it's through Trackhouse, they made the announcement a couple weeks ago, you and I are joining KHI management to more or less get mentored by one of the greatest of all times, as well as help with a lot of other business stuff. Who has been a couple of those people? Because you have to weed out a lot of the noise, right? Because everybody's going to tell you what to do. Everybody's going to tell you what restaurant to go to. Everybody's going to tell you what cone you should lift at. But who are the people where, like, you really focus and are trying to apply what their opinions are?
Yeah, there's a lot of people. You know, Kevin Harvick's been great so far. Just lots of little basic stuff that I've never thought about. And my crew chief at Corlick, Bruce Schlicker, like, all that, just the basic stuff like coming down pit road, what to look for, and you know the rules about driving through pit boxes, stuff I don't really know. But and also Marcus has been great. A few months ago sent me like a whole list of things just for what I should be used to and how to fit in, how to sit, you know, and relax in the car rather than, you know, fighting it, and just lots of little things. And Marcus has been great because he's just, you know, it was 15 years ago or whatever, but he's done this transition that I'm doing, so he's been through it, and you know, you get lots of little pieces of advice from everyone. You learn pretty quick who to listen to and not to listen to.
What are some big hitters that Marcus is telling you? Because I've always said that Marcus was an underrated dude carrying on, shouldering RPM when they were at the bottom.
Bro, Marcus Ambrose was damn good, but he didn't get.
It was when
the equipment was like the equipment was obviously now it's way closer with the cars, but it was just so much vastly different. He was behind the eight ball just with equipment.
For sure. I think he tried to set the track record in Michigan still. It was like 212 miles an hour. Like the guy is an absolute animal. Tasmanian devil, if you will. So what are some things that Marcus is kind of like big hit items like, hey, don't go to this bar after the race. It gets a little scary. Like what are some things that he's telling you?
It was mainly all driving stuff, like how to feel the car set in the corner. And I even felt it at Daytona, like, you know, we driving with a steering box, how you're driving down the straight and the car's kind of loaded to the right. Then as you turn in, nothing kind of happens, you know, and then the steering box kind of kicks in and you feel the car load up on the tire. You're still flat into the corner there, but there's that small moment where nothing happens, where you have a bit of a, oh, is this thing going to turn, you know?
Yeah.
Just stuff like that to be prepared for. Let the car sort of work underneath you. And I think especially these Xfinity cars without the downforce, you kind of just got to let the car do the work because you're reacting to all these little things. And by the time you correct it and catch up, you know, it's already happened way behind you. You got to kind of let the car flow a bit. So lots of little things and then just, you know, mainly being comfortable. Like these races are longer than anything I've ever done before, especially when I go and do the double on the Coke 600 weekend. Like that's it's 1,000 miles of racing, and normally the longest race I do is 1,000 kilometers, and we have another driver to help me through it. So
I don't know how many, I don't know how long 1,000 kilometers is. What is that?
We're 1,000% the standard measuring system here.
Yeah, 600 miles probably is our longest race. So yeah, doing two of them on a long weekend, it's gonna be tough.
But I've seen your calves, buddy. I know you're built for 900 miles. No problemo. I'll tell you one thing about the first time I went to Daytona. Now, everything my dad tells me, I look at him like, yeah, right. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. He told me one time, he's like, hey, when that thing gets out of shape, at Daytona, preface, at Daytona, that thing gets out of shape, just don't do nothing. Just let the car do the work. I said, that doesn't make any sense. I got in a hairy spot in the duel. Somebody packed my left rear, and that thing was, like, wrecked. And I was like, okay, I'm going to listen to Dad. And that thing did one of these, and it came right back straight. And I'm like, holy shit.
It worked.
He was right. It worked. Thank you, Jesus. So you'll be in one of those positions and just do as Randy LaJoy said. Just don't do nothing. Just hang on.
Like, we only did single car running in the ARCA test, and – man, at that speed, like what the air does to the car and how it moves it around, it's crazy. So when I get 2 and 3 wide, that's going to be a bit of an experience, I think, for the first time.
Now, I seen your crazy-ass Kiwi self. You like to dabble in 410 sprint cars over there. I saw Kyle Larson extend the olive branch out, do some high-limit racing. How many offers have you had to drive different stuff, and is that something you would think about doing?
Yeah, and even there was a message about doing chili bowl and a midget too. But I think mid-year I'll start to, you know, do some stuff. I definitely got to focus on this challenge first and getting a rhythm and a routine with the NASCAR life. But yeah, I want to do some sprint cars again later on. And, you know, if the team guys are happy with me doing it, Justin and I briefly talked about it. So it'd be cool if he started up his sprint car team again. That'd be good. I'd love to.
Jeez. Big things in the work.
Is there one place, I guess it's always great, because like we've been doing this, going to the same racetracks for years. Is there a place when you haven't been on this schedule like we are, is there a place, like a track that you look at that like we wouldn't think of, that you're like, I'm excited to get there, I don't know about that place?
I guess like everyone tells me, oh, you're going to crash it at Texas Turn 1, it's difficult, you'll need the backup there, and then Darlington's tough, that's going to be a hard one for you. And I think those two tracks are what people's talked about the most for me. So I guess those ones, you know, that's why I'm here, to challenge myself and, you know, get out of my comfort zone a bit. So those kind of tracks, I know they're not going to be easy, but yeah, I can't wait to go there. And I've been watching those races, they don't look easy, so it'll be fun to get there.
Yeah, you're a real one, man. Turn 1 of Texas isn't, it actually bit my ass earlier near, so I probably shouldn't say that. I spun out back in the fence. Didn't need a backup car, but like the tracks I think about that have a high pucker value is Dover.
Dover.
Like, I don't know. Yeah. You might even know where that's at. It's in Delaware. I'm not even sure
geographically
Delaware, where
very
it is.
Unassuming. Very unassuming.
It's
place.
Always foggy, always gray. But you just know when that first fella rips it off down the front straightaway and you're watching from the pitch, you're like, holy shit, I don't know if I signed up to do this. Every
I
time.
I drove that on the sim the other day for the first time and never really done that track. It's
gnarly.
It looks
dude.
Pretty difficult the way the car loads into the banking.
It's gnarly. It is not. It's super fun. Super fun. Now, you've been – how many – over or under? Over or under? General sim session is 3 hours. I'm going to guess that you've probably been in there 15 times, maybe more. 100 hours? Do you think?
A lot here.
You think – have you think – over or under 100 hours so far have you been in the simulator?
Probably not as much as you think. I think I had four or five sessions. Yeah, so I've done two cup ones and three Xfinity, and then we're in again tomorrow morning, so
nice.
should be good to get a bit more, but yeah, not too much, I guess.
Unique situation, right? Trackhouse driver, Trackhouse affiliate, more or less farming you over to call like another Chevy partner to get some laps in and get some experience outside of the Trackhouse shop, essentially. How is that been? You're spending a lot of time up there in Winston-Salem on the grounds of Colleague as well as over there in Concord, I'm sure. So how's that balance been?
Yeah, it's been cool. Like, I feel part of both teams. And then, yeah, the Xfinity side is it's pretty impressive, the effort that goes into their shop and how much prep and all the cars lined up. When I first went in there, you know, in supercars, we have one car for the whole season. So I went in there and there's like 20 chassis being prepped. It's pretty mind-blowing for me at the moment. But yeah, the cup side's good too. How that all work with Trackhouse and Corlig is pretty cool. And yeah, six, seven races at least so far at some pretty cool tracks. So I'm looking forward to that. And yeah, plenty of, I think it's 40 plus races so far. So pretty busy.
Wait till you add some sprint car races to that too.
Mm.
Yeah. Hope so.
Well, it was with Harvick too. Harvick will surely have him at the car store.
He'll be
race
driving
or
some late model stock and Caraway too, I'm sure.
Well, we're pulling for it, man.
More
we're excited.
The better, I think.
We're excited to see.
We're excited to see you, and you can do it. That's what I'm most excited about. There's nobody been really successful.
I'm excited to see the racing, but my buddy, you know, George Medecki. He was my roommate here when he lived over here, and I just was very interested in seeing him adapt to American life. So I am excited to see you race, but I am more excited to hear the stories of you adapting American life and seeing some of this stuff just blow your mind.
Bro, he hasn't even got – because Chicago was a rainout, essentially. You didn't get to see the NASCAR fans at their finest. You are going down to – people watching heaven, because there are some great looking lovely fellas down there in Daytona Beach.
I think I'm doing like an infield tour kind of documentary at Talladega, so that's an experience.
Yes,
going and seeing all the people there. I've seen a couple of videos of that. It looks pretty loose.
very loose is a good word for it. All right, so as we asked you when you were on in studio the first time, we asked three questions. I'm gonna need your help to come up with a fourth. Question number one is, one car and one track for the rest of your life, what do you go with?
I haven't changed from last time. It was that McLaren GT3 car at Bathurst. Like, it was one of the best driving experiences I've ever had. It was really cool.
That's a norm. I still go when I need some entertainment every now and then. I'll pull up who's the Penske guy?
Scotty McLaughlin.
Scotty McLaughlin's lap at Bathurst, just an electric
he said it. Oh, I asked him after you told me to ask him about blocking your door. Was that, or did he block?
Oh, yeah. Well,
and he's like, it was an accident, man.
He blocked his door.
I said,
yeah, it would be a pretty cool story if I did it on purpose.
Yeah.
I didn't, unfortunately.
I think the second question is, the most embarrassed you've ever been at the racetrack?
Yeah.
I hit a medical car once when my steering broke, and I was trying to get back to the pits, and then just swerved me straight into this brand new Porsche medical car. Oh. Crashed into it pretty good.
Mm.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
That's what, dude. What, the Juan Pablo? You ever seen the Juan Pablo one at Daytona?
You won't be able to outdo that one.
When his truck arm broke. Yeah, that was big.
That was big. That was a big fire. I'm gonna make this is what I'm thinking for a fourth. This is what. Okay. Tell me if you like it or not. If it's dumb, because I will change it. If you had to design one track, what do you design? What shape? What size? What is the surface? And where would you put it?
I like the Nürburgring, like something like that. That's pretty much got every corner you can have. It's got a bank corner with the carousel, all through the forest, long straights, crusty corners. Nürburgring's a pretty perfect track.
Where would you put it? In your backyard?
Somewhere in New Zealand, in the countryside there.
That'd be pretty cool. I don't even know what I haven't even thought about that question. Probably Field Filler Fairgrounds.
Right out here.
Right out here in the back.
Canapolis, North track Carolina.
Ever. We got to get that fire back up. We need this guy out here sliding around with us.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, SVG, man, I appreciate you coming on. I know you got a lot of prep work going, rolling down to Daytona this week. We wish you luck. You can do it. You're with the right group. You got what it takes, and I'm sure our fans are going to be sticking around with you as well. So,
and when that crazy shit happens in the ARCA race, go, oh, those – yeah. Sons of guns were right.
Blokes were right. You're gonna be just fine, buddy. Just make sure those belts are a little bit tighter than usual, and that's it. You're gonna be just fine.
Yeah, I've been told to do that already.
Yeah, yep. Just give them things a little extra tuggy tuggy, and you'll be just fine. All right, hey.
Awesome. Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Shane.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It is time for our favorite segment, my favorite segment.
Grading some paint schemes.
The old paints, Daytona 500 style paint scheme review.
I'll tell you though, just like the first time you walk through the garage at Daytona and you see all those vibrant colors, palm trees.
Freshly powder coated pit equipment.
Smell that salt water. Fire me up, buddy.
I love it.
What are we looking at this week for the 500 paint schemes? With first one up, what is it?
The first number four without Kevin Harvick in it.
Wow. Josh Berry, Sonny D-Light, Ford Mustang. Don't hate it. I don't love the new little thing we got going on with the words above the grill.
Yeah.
It first appeared with the Fastenal Chris Buescher's car, which I didn't hate it there. You can't really tell what it is. It says boldly original. Who doesn't love Sonny D-Light? And we're actually going to change our gradings because sometimes it gets a little confusing what an A is. Is that a 93 like it was back in the day, or did they just make it a little easier for everybody else? So it's 90. We're going to go with numbers.
Okay.
We're going to go with numbers like a pizza review here. I love the Sonny D-Light bottle on the side. Don't love the lines going through the number, as you guys know.
Yeah, that's
kind of wavy. It kind of makes me thirsty looking at it. I like the yellow bumper. I'm going to go 7.3 on the Sonny D-Light. 7.4. Nod to the number.
Great number. That's a great. I'm not even going to add much. I don't like. I second what you said. I think where the boldly original is, I think that's for the manufacturer. That needs to be like a blue oval or something. That's in a weird spot. I kind of like Stuart Haas's new logo there on the left side bumper.
Shh. But that's what it looks like to me. Shh.
Number two.
Shh.
84. Seven time
coming back to the beach. I like this. I like this a lot. This Toyota Camry doesn't really give me Shamu vibes like the other one does. It's got the chrome bumpers.
That, bro, I forgot to bring this up. When I watched the Clash, every time I saw a Toyota, all I could think about was freaking Shamu. I was like, that's what damn it.
Look at that. Like, it still looks, it looks every like time actually like an orca.
They'd come on this certain view, like, of the backstretch of the car coming to you, and every time it was 11, all I think of was splash zone. Don't sit in the front row. Splat. Those guys are in, this camera's in the splash zone. So
that's what they sound like in a tank. But this one is a big blue orca whale. Carvana coming back. Big nod to Richard Petty. Their 75th anniversary of the Petty family being involved in NASCAR. I like this. I like simple. I like the number somewhat. Dollar Tree on the quarters. Carvana's big brand bringing to the table. Don't love the hood logo so much because it's just a car with a halo on top, but I get it. I'm going to go 8.4.
Yeah, I'd give it a high 8 too. 8.5 right there with you.
I'm
like
8.4.
All the,
I don't know why that number's just popping up to me, but I'm going to go with 8.4.
8.4. Huh. That's just
next. All right, I saw this car yesterday the other day in the shop. The red foil numbers on Zane Smith WeatherTech Camaro are so chef's kiss.
Or is the red on the car foil numbers?
No. Nope. It doesn't match.
I hate
the red foil numbers don't match.
Yeah, but I hate how the red is on top of red.
I don't love that either. I'm not sitting here giving this thing a 10. I'm just saying I like the red foil.
Did Kevin design it?
Or Kevin Wilson. This is probably a track house thing.
Okay, because if it's Kevin Wilson, I'll bump it up a little bit.
I'd imagine that SVG's 97 WeatherTech car probably looks very similar, so they're probably wanting to keep some consistency there. You can see that WeatherTech on the quarter panel. You can probably see that thing from Orange Beach. That W you can probably see from the Goodyear Tower and the Goodyear blimp. The red foil numbers, I'm gonna give it more than what Jimmy's scheme was. I'm gonna go 8.7.
I didn't even realize that was a W on the hood until you just said that. I thought I was like, there's a W on the hood. I like it a lot, you know. I'm a big fan of white race cars, and I haven't disagreed with one of your numbers yet. Five car, Valvoline.
Okay. Don't love it, but they don't have lines going through the number. That's at least
that's a bump.
3/10 of a bump. Valvoline's an iconic brand. I'm sure that thing's going to be a hot rod running up front. I like how the white kind of goes the white stripe goes around the contingencies there to kind of separate them. Here's what I like, and as I said last week, I like it when the sponsors are placed and then the scheme is designed around that. So I'm going to stick with that. Don't love the color combos where they're placed, if I'm being really picky, but I think I like this a little bit more. I don't love going over the front tire so much. Looks a little weird, but I'm going to go 8.5.
Dude, I'm giving this thing a flat 5.
Flat 5?
Yeah, for Hendrick, like, Hendrick is graded on a different standard. They have some of the best-looking race cars, most iconic-looking race cars. That right there, not great. Straight 5 for me.
Ooh.
34 car.
It looks the same as every other year. 7.5.
Yeah.
6.7, 7.3. I feel like my answer's already stuck at 7.5.
You're feeling nice today.
Yeah, well, because any race car is a cool race car.
I just don't like yellow.
That's your own prerogative.
I know. Not any race car is a cool race car.
And then
car.
The
some,
last
some
one
race
up.
Cars suck. I disagree with that.
Oh, I can tell you, race cars with checkered flags on them definitely suck.
No, dude, a lot of people sent over. Keep
tweeting.
Yeah, there's
a lot of people sitting there on Photoshop trying to make it look like cars with checkered flags won races. Not happening.
They didn't have Photoshop
not
in
happening.
1990.
Not happening. Cool, man. Keep sending your Legends cars in with fake victory lane shots. That's pretty cool. Don't run checker flags on your cars. Now, what
seven?
You can run is a margarita on the side of your car.
Ooh.
That hot rod. I'll tell you what. I think it was a match made in heaven because the 7 really and truly is just a bent chili pepper.
It looks like the Chili's logo. It's got, now that it's red, it definitely works.
So, as you see, there is a margarita glass tipped back with the Quetzarita and the QR code. So, there's a couple QR codes on the hood. There's a couple QR codes on the deck lid and the quarter panels. And if you are quick enough, and you probably won't be, you might be able to get your camera phone out and scan one of those for some Chili's gift cards or even a VIP experience to Austin, Texas, down to Circuit of the Americas. So get your remote ready. And when that thing pops up, whether it's in Victory Lane or wherever it's at, hit pause, scan it, get some stuff, and go on down to Chili's. But as you know, I got to point out, the margarita glass is touching the number. Instant couple tenth deduction. I think the fact that we, since we're dragging, bringing Chili's national brand into the series, into their first Daytona 500, I feel like that's worth a little bit of something something. Also, very interactive paint scheme, because we're giving the chance for people to get some free margaritas, get some free crispers, get whatever they want to, fajitas. So because
of
that,
said interactive, I'm like, wait, are you delivering stuff with this thing? Does it have a tap?
The race
on it?
Doesn't work out good. Maybe I have to start delivering Chili's. The DoorDash guy. I'm going 9. It'd be a, if the martini glass or the glass wasn't going through the numbers, it'd be like a 9-4, but I'm going to go flat 9.
Yeah, man. I think it's cool. It probably needs some checkered flags, but other than that, I think it's, it looks good.
I think the chilies could be bigger on the side. I like the chili pepper. It's an iconic brand. Quecheritas on the hood.
Now, does it not say Chili's? It just has a Chili's sign with the S next to it? No, on the side there.
There is Chili's. There's a big, large Chili's text on the door.
Yeah.
And then there's a chili pepper, which is their all. This is what I'm literally wearing on my sweatshirt right now.
On the quarter panel.
On the quarter panel. So there's Chili's.
That's a chili pepper with an apostrophe S. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm down.
Okay, cool. And that's all we got for a couple pre-release paint schemes. Make sure you guys tune in. NASCAR, the app, usually has a whole rundown of paint schemes. And I'm curious to hear what other people grades.
Yeah, let us know what they are.
Curious. But we're going to keep this show moving and grooving and wrap this thing up. Stay tuned, guys. This is Stag and Pennies presented by Chili's.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Welcome back to everybody. This is Stack and Pennies presented by Chili's. It is time for some pit road boats and woes. The Great American Race can be won on pit road or can be lost on pit road. A lot of different strategies, a lot of different fuel strategies, some right side tires, some four tires, some no tires. What's it going to all shake out here on Sunday?
Gas. See this margarita mixer gas can
need all
us?
Of it.
It's going to be about gas and how you get, if you save gas, if you got enough gas. As my buddy, we talk about him a lot, Andrew Lackey says, I'm in distribution, not consumption. So that's what it's going to be about, and I'm excited to get down there and get this season just kicked off, and I'm more excited to get to the West Coast and really start competing on pit road.
See what's what. Yeah, you still don't know what it's all just a little bit of talk. Haven't seen anybody really take any hot stops yet. Everybody's posting some pit crew practice videos. You don't know who. There's no boots on the ground yet.
Nope. Nope.
Boots on the ground really come maybe Atlanta, still probably a fuel mileage race, but we go to Vegas and it'll be hammered down.
Yep, Vegas, Phoenix, and then you go to Phoenix, you know, where you're going to decide the championship. So, yeah, I'm excited to get going, and not a lot, like we talked about last week, not a lot of changes. The rear tire changer on the mechanics wear went in pit crew last year, the six car, was madder than a snake this week.
Why?
Who
was it?
Stephen Price.
Oh, dog.
So our rear changer, Zach Price, had some button issues where you go to hit, you switch the button from off to on, so you smack it.
Yep.
You go hit the hub, and then the reverse valve would switch back.
Mm.
So they stiffen the button a little bit, and Stephen Price did not like that. And because boy, was he vocal about it.
because you don't get a say in that. You don't get to choose what's what.
You used to. Yeah. You used to be able to set it with set screws back when we had old hammer guns with five lug nuts. You'd set it with a O-ring that was different stiffness,
mm-hmm.
and it would be temperature variant. Now they set it and forget it. It's all locked down. So you have to pick one of your three guns that you like best, and it might be harder to change. Turns out Steven did not like that, so he had some choice words for Zach Price. And it was
on social media?
No, just kind of between everybody. It was kind of a funny thing that went on all week. I thought it was a joke at first, but he was actually pretty mad.
Big mad.
As far as who I think the top pickers are going to be this year, like we're reading on the rundown, it's going to be hard to say. It's going to be, you know.
Well, who's top of the street last year?
Hendrick, 24 car. See, it's a little bit skewed because the mechanics wear deal, like, okay, so the 6 car is racing the 24 for the mechanics wear deal.
Mm.
The 24 goes to Phoenix in the championship 4,
mm.
right? The 6 car doesn't. They just go there to win the mechanics wear deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
the I know intention's different.
Pit stops or whatever, but then the 6 just barely jumped to 24 the last race of the year.
Because they had nothing to lose.
Yeah, so good for them. They're a good pit crew. There's a lot, like I said, there's probably 10 top 5 pit crews.
What?
Yeah. So just whoever hits it right is
who's going to be in the top 5. No, there's only
5. Yeah, I know. I know, but there's...
I'm not good at math, but I think that's what it is.
I know. I'm with you, but that's what it means.
What do you think? Where do you think 12 car stacks up? Still intact, all 5 the same?
We're
good enough to win it?
Top 5 every week. We were P4 on the year last year on yearly
average.
Like,
were you the 15th place, 15th, 5th place team, or are you actually a 5th place team?
Listen, smartass. There's 10 top 5 teams. It just depends on who does good that week that's in the top 5 that week or throughout the year.
Thanks for clarifying.
No problem. No problem. Right now, the way you're acting, you would not be the Penny Stacker of the Week.
No.
Tell me who the Penny Stacker of the Week is.
I feel like I have to throw it back to my bartender buddy from 2 decades ago, Jeremy, for dropping off some chilies. We still have a lot of chilies to consume. A lot of chips and salsa to consume. So, for that reason, Jeremy, the bartender at Chili's, is the Penny Stacker of the Week.
That's, man, still a crazy story. Life, what is it? Time is a flat circle.
It is a flat circle. It's bizarre. Really is bizarre, and I'm happy to be linked up with Chili's, and they're happy to be linked up with Stacking Pennies.
And I'm happy to read some Penny for Your Thoughts questions.
Ooh, hit us.
Let's rip. Good. I got 2 good ones this week.
Yeah?
First one's from at Ellis Parker.
Okay.
Who do you want to be pushing you on the last lap before you make your move?
Everybody.
the whole field.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about that the other day. Because if it all comes down and you know you have a Ford behind you and you have to cover a lane, you know he's not going to cut you a break to get you back in. If there's a Chevy, then you might have maybe like a 3% chance they'll actually think about it, then not let you in. But you really would like to have a teammate, and really and truly the only teammates we have are the 77 and the 71. So if we can somehow get one of those two cars just attached to our bumper, and you know you can be aggressive with blocks, and you know you got somebody that can stay attached to you and push you if you need it. If the middle opens up, you can shoot it, especially if you have some help. But you want somebody that's not just going to wreck you, right? Like Denny is really good at pushing and not wrecking, and there's certain people that anybody that watches a super speedway race knows that the people who usually push and then there's a lot of carnage that follows. You don't want one of those
guys.
Don't
talk about Ricky like that.
Ricky and I work together. We're like Cal Naughton Jr. and Ricky Bobby.
We've shaked
and baked pretty good. We've got the third lane working a couple times, and that's when I wrecked Joey at Talladega when he pulled up that
lane. Are you the guy?
No. I push people.
Are you the guy
that
you're talking about?
No, I drag brake. I'm lifting. I'm like... Yeah. Give some nice little nudges, like, ew, let's go.
Hey,
let's go.
Great stat I read in here.
What?
You are second to young Ryan Blaney on Daytona finish average, 11.75. Second best of all drivers to Ryan Blaney, 11.0 average finish for the last 4 Daytona 500s.
Let's freaking go. I didn't even know that stat.
Well, hey, you might want to bring that up. Question 1A.
You know why? Because it pays pretty good.
Spin off from that question from at Skip Flores. Are you a key partner Chevy car? Are you privy to those meetings? Or
no,
not?
We don't get that. We don't get that invite.
So,
we are.
Are you closer to?
No.
Does Zane get the invite? Where's the line?
Probably.
Copy.
Probably. We have our own cool kids club with the non-partners, right? So the non-key partner Chevys, two colleagues, call it three Spires, JTG, whatever 62 cars out there.
So there won't be any Ricky Stenhouse blasphemy on here.
No.
I don't want there to be anyway, but I'm just saying.
But Ricky will go in there and you'll talk to the driver intros. Hey, what are you thinking about? Whatever I got to do, I'll do.
Yeah.
If there's 12 Fords and he's in the middle of a pack of Fords and they're coming down, he's like, okay, I'm going to pit this lap. Boys, be ready.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes. Where we've been having success married up to – you need five. Five is the number of cars. You can't be fast enough with four, and six is the same speed as five. So if you – can get five cars with good single car pace, you get one, the fastest car to lead the draft, you have another fast car in the back of that five lane draft or five car draft, that is the fastest that you can be. So we're gonna try to find five fellas that have some speed, have some experience, have some knowledge, and just miss the big one if it's coming. But sometimes you don't have a choice. Sometimes you have to jam that thing in there and hope nobody wrecks and hope we come out the other side.
Five friendly fellas.
Or they could be the other F word, too. Depends how it goes.
Depends. Okay. Last one. Yes. I know the answer to this. At Blue Marlin 26. There's only one right answer to this.
Mm-hmm.
What position do you want to be in coming to the last lap?
You got it. Anymore with this car, the runs come slower. You got to be leading. You have to be in the first two rows on a green, white checkered, or even on a restart with 10 to go if you want to win the race.
Well, you have to be – you're racing potentially to the caution.
Yeah.
So you have to be leading.
Got
to
be leading at all times, because here's my opinion. If we got rid of rear-view cameras, the race would look way different.
Yeah.
Because you can see runs when they're coming. You can see how close somebody is. You're anticipating somebody hits you. Because the rear-view camera is such a higher vantage point than what the old mirror is. Because now you can just cover a lane when it's coming because you know where it's at exactly. With the old mirror, you got window braces and NACA ducts and this and that, and you're kind of like guessing. If we got rid of that rear view camera, which we won't, the super speedways would get that look of a old school, kind of spread out, kind of some late runs back. But that's just the evolution of what we got right
when
now.
You are learning, like in flight school, I think there's the old ad. I think about this. They tell you when you're learning to be a pilot, they tell you you'd much rather be down here wishing you were up there than up there wishing you were down here. And that's how I see the lead at super speedways. You'd much rather be in the lead
and get crashed in the lead.
Yep. Than wishing you were in the lead. Yeah. So.
Way harder to get there than it is to stay there. I've been on both sides. Led some laps, covered some lanes. It's a lot easier to maintain that track position when you get it than it is to go try to pass everybody else who is professionally trying to keep their spot as well. So we got some season picks, buddy. After all that's being said, all that's talking about, all the haulers are loaded and they're all southbound, but there can only be one come Phoenix holding the big trophy. You guys got to touch it, feel it, hold it. It now lives at Team Penske. Can you do it again?
You're damn right. I ain't gonna bet against myself ever. Right. Who's your top four? Who's your all too soon championship four? I've got one. I've got a championship four. If you want to think about it, I can give you mine.
I'll think. You go.
Okay, but don't steal mine. Mm-hmm. I know you damn drivers like to
take credit for
steal my ideas and take everybody's credit. Joey Logano, Paul Wolf.
Okay, motivated.
Even your guy. Five car, Cliff Daniels. He might be in the championship for the next 15 years.
Could be.
Tyler Reddick. I think he has a breakout season. I think if there's anybody that could be like William Byron was last year, it's Tyler Reddick. He's got the pace. His team's together. I'm picking a Toyota, and it's Tyler Reddick. And, of course, I'm picking us because
two Penske cars.
That's the team I'm on.
Two Penske cars.
They're the only team that's won a championship with a next-gen car.
You're not wrong.
And they got the dark horse. They didn't go – There's a lot of smart people working at Ford. Their cars weren't great last year. The new aero deal.
I don't know.
They got the dark horse now.
You look at them front fenders and they get my motor running, buddy.
And that's what I'm saying. They didn't make it worse.
They didn't make it worse.
So we'll see.
We'll see if they made it better.
Yeah, we'll see if they get the balance dialed in on that thing. So give me your four.
Denny coming out hot. It should scare everybody. shoulder's feeling good. He doesn't have a bum fender like he was talking about in the Netflix documentary. So he's got a brand new fender on that thing. His right shoulder's healed up good. The 11 car is going to be strong from start to finish. The 20 has been clutch in that round of eight, winning the last 2 years to punch his ticket into the round of four, but I don't think that they're going to do it this year. So I'm going to go the 5 over the 24. I feel like one of those four get in.
24's Martinsville scared the crap out of me this past.
They were not good. So I think Cliff and Kyle really focused. They don't like being outrun by that 24, or anybody for that matter, but they were not the winningest car in camp, so they're going to probably adjust from that. They're going to be set on kill.
Kyle, we have to win more races than Rudy and William.
This is unacceptable.
We have to win more.
So more than William Byron at 6 wins last year is a big number and a tall task. But if anybody can do it, it's the guy that won 11 races last year or 2 years ago before we went to the next-gen car. And we all know Kyle Larson is a dog. So I'm going to go Hamlin, Larson. I like the Tyler Reddick pick, but I'm not going to go there.
Good.
Yeah, I like that. I'll give you that one. Let's go. I like Joey. Yep. See him pretty much every commercial there is out there. He's on Hair Club for Men with Frankie Muniz. He's drinking a Coke on the corner gas station. He's everywhere. Can't get away from him.
11, 5, 22, and...
Can I go Ross?
All right, why not?
He won a Phoenix.
The Melon Man.
End of the year hot.
What's your 235?
I don't know. I feel like I'd get winded if I run 235 feet right now.
too much Chili's chips today.
Yeah, too many chips to run my 235 today, but I think Ross's 235 is going to at least get him to Phoenix. I think that's a motivated group. They got a big partner in Busch Light that they have to perform for.
Well, it would really grind my gears if we didn't make the championship four this year, but what grinds your gears?
I think what really grinds my gears this week is that the drinking word in the offseason is excited. You know what really grinds my gears? How many people can't figure out another word to say other than excited? I'm excited to do this. I'm excited for Daytona. I'm excited for the Clash. I'm excited for this new partner. I'm excited for my new crew chief. I'm excited. Say, and I don't know. Say something else.
Fired up.
Say I'm fired up.
I'm freaking fired up.
Yeah, something else. Tired of excited. Tired my up. Gears are ground down every time somebody says, you know, I'm really excited.
I'm sick of it. Just give me the high gear.
Give it to me. I ain't got it. Ain't got high gear because it's damn gone. I'm excited. It's ground down. Ground down to a damn pulp. So stop saying you're excited. Jeez.
You know what grinds my gears?
Google synonyms for excited and then just pick a couple more.
You brought this up this morning.
What?
How freaking expensive Disney's tickets
are. Oh, my God. I get going.
You called me this morning. Or I called you and you said, I'm buying about to rifle off $500 for Disney tickets. I said, damn it. You got off easy.
Half price.
Yeah, golly.
Yeah, I have an infant. I ain't going to pay for it. It's still $500.
You got that damn driver discount.
I guess.
I'm here paying full price pit crew member. Nothing. Not even nothing.
Yeah, I hate that for you.
Yeah, brutal.
Yeah, when I got to bring all three of them Rugrats down there all of age, I'm pull a second mortgage out of my house.
I'll give Mickey a piece of my mind.
I will. Huh? I will. They don't make those places that big for nothing.
Yep. Well, you know what else will grab my gears? If you don't tweet us, you're at Penny for Your Thoughts questions this week.
We need them. We love them. We love to answer them. Love to talk about them. Hashtag Penny for Your Thoughts on Twitter. You know what? I'm just excited, guys.
Well, I'm fired up.
I'm fired up.
I'm fired up.
Yeah, I'm just excited. I'm excited to go down to Daytona.
Or just
this
go
week.
The other way when you go to the media center. I'm pissed to be here. I'm pissed off. I want to be on my couch watching Blue with my kids. This is
how many damn times do I got to come down here and tell you all the same thing? I'm pissed off about it.
I haven't been looking forward to this at all. Yep.
I've been sitting around 15 weeks. I am pissed off.
I'm bored out of my mind. Just flip the script.
Yeah, so also, hey. Now, there's no excuse if you don't listen to us. There's enough hours in the day. You can listen to SiriusXM, or you can go find it on the app, SiriusXM Channel 90, or You can listen to us on your podcast, just audio, where you don't get to see this cool set in the Nonsense Garage like you can on YouTube, on NASCAR's YouTube page, as always, to scope this thing out. Because we're doing some little, not really changing up every week, but we're changing it up a little bit. We got some different helmets. We obviously have the Presidente Margarita Shaker here for you. Copperdale. We're going to add some little trinkets. Also, every week we have been giving away, and we're going to give away, on social media, at underscore stag and pennies, something from Arctic once a week. That could be a cooler. That could be a tumbler. That could be, I don't know, some backpack. They make so much stuff, it's going to knock your hair off. So there's going to be trivia questions each and every week, and we're going to pick somebody, and they're going to be the winner of something Arctic. So don't miss that. Don't miss that. Go follow that and go give your correct answer for that trivia question. That's all, guys. I got to get the bus loaded down. We got to go. I got to go eat some more chilies because we got a bunch of stuff. And we got to go try to put that 7-car in victory lane for the Harley J. Earl Trophy, buddy.
Let's go. Hey, good luck. You're going to have to beat the only guy
that has a better
average than you and a better looking front tire changer.
Let's, right. Jafar's a good looking fella.
he probably got me beat on that.
He definitely don't have the dad bod like you either. Hey, he's got a six pack.
Right. Hey, it's all right. I'll see him on pit road.
I'll catch him down the road.
I'll see you there.
And we'll see y'all too. I hope you guys enjoy it. And then one last thing, if you just happen to be walking around Daytona, we're gonna be doing a little live show. It won't be living on all this other stuff that you see. This, we're just gonna be out there chopping it up. We're gonna have some chilies, we're gonna have some this, we're gonna have some that, and we're gonna go interact with the fans. What is that, 12 o'clock? 12 o'clock on Saturday.
If you hear us talking, it's not pre-recorded, it's live, so come see us.
In the infield stage, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be down there stacking pennies on Saturday. So excited to see y'all in person.
Right under the Florida sunshine.
We'll be down there. Hopefully you will. If not, you can tune in on Fox. We'll be there. Daytona 500.
Man, I'm excited.
I'm damn excited.